Why pay more for a separate CoQ10 supplement? Enjoy twice the benefits with SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced from the number one doctor, pharmacist, and cardiologist recommended beet brand for heart health support. The new SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced by Human is now infused with CoQ10. That's essentially like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, and CoQ10 ingredients support nitric oxide production, healthy blood pressure, healthy CoQ10 levels, and heart-healthy energy with two tasty chews a day. Plus, SuperBeats Heart Chews Advance are plant-based, so you get heart-healthy energy without stimulants. For a limited time, get a free 30-day supply of SuperBeats Heart Chews on all bundles and 15% off your first order by going to radiobeats.com and using promo code DEAL. That's radiobeats.com, code DEAL.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I want to give back. You know what I'm saying? What is it that I could do for you? How can I help my community where I'm from, your city? How can I make it better?
We don't understand that there's good debt, really good debt. Right. Leverage is everything.
Leverage is everything.
Right.
Mortgage is great debt.
My message to the ballplayers, I like to speak to them. I feel like once they get done, they don't know what to do. But if you want to get in this real estate game, you can live the same way as you did in the league, outside the league.
Who's the GOAT of basketball, LeBron or MJ? So I'll be honest, I think that...
Hey, yo. Speed my rants and gems. Speed my rants and gems. Gems. Yeah, I can do it, we discover. Peace to all the kings and the queens where the mother lie. Speed my rants and gems. Speed my rants and gems. Gems. Yeah, I can do it, we discover. Peace to all the kings and the queens where the mother lie.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Rants and Gems. My name is Matt Garland, NMLS number 58700, but better known as MG the Mortgage Guy.
And my name is Kiana Watson, broker extraordinaire, license number 317576. Welcome to another amazing episode of the Rants and Gems show.
Absolutely, man. We got some all-stars, some Hall of Famers in the building today, man. Rants and Gems, we about to take this shit over, just FYI.
Sponsors with all that cussing now.
Oh, my bad. You see, she's checking me already, right? So parental discretion is advised when MG is talking.
Hey, you guys, we are coming to you live from London, and we wonder why aren't they a part of our community?
Look, if you're not part of the Rants and Gems gym dropping community, you're doing yourself a tremendous disservice. We got live events, behind the scenes, live Q&As with our guests. You need to be a part of the community.
You got to be a part of this community so you can ask questions to all of our guests, so you can interact with us, vibe with us, get exclusive behind the scenes footage. I mean, we're going to have everything you need in our community. So y'all stop asking questions on Instagram and join our community so you can get the real answers.
Exactly. So link is in the bio. Join the Rants and Gems certified gym dropper community today. Get behind the scenes action, live Q&As, free access to all of our live pop-ups, and the Rants and Gems live experience tour. So don't wait, don't hesitate. Link in the bio. Join today.
See you soon, gym droppers.
Peace. But we got some special guests, man. We got my guys, man. LaShawn McCoy, LaRon McCoy, the McCoy brothers are in the building. What's going on, fellas?
How you doing? What's up?
What's up, man?
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. It's a pleasure to be here on Rants and Gems. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Looking to get into it, talk a little real estate.
Look, let's do it, man. You guys are killing the real estate game. Shady was in the NFL, killing, tearing up the NFL for years. But let's get to the real estate. When did you guys fall in love with real estate?
Well, I'll just go back a little bit just to give you a background. So
So I'm LaShawn, he's LaRon. He's a lot older than I am.
A lot, really.
Right? He gets into we've been tight since we've been young. You know, he's been even like playing football. Like I wanted to play because he played, you know, that type of thing. And we've been that tight. So now we're in this real estate, it's the same thing. Our first real estate project, I think, that make us fall in love with it. Is our second home. We're from Harrisburg, so
mm-hmm. Right.
The first house we had was really, really in the hood, bad, right? Then we moved up a little bit.
Right.
My family, they're from New York, right? Okay. So we moved to Harrisburg, and the second house we had, I was so happy because, I mean, I wasn't sharing a room with this guy. I had my own room, wife had a little basement, but it still was in the hood. And I remember my pops, our dad, he kind of got us that first project in real estate. We came to the crib, gave him some money for it, right? Fixed it up. Now, before I seen it, I'm thinking of the old house we lived in.
Yeah.
I came back, I'm like, yo, we
completely different.
We live here.
Oh, wow.
You see what I'm saying? So
the crazy thing about that whole thing is, so that's the first house that my parents bought.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So they had me when they was a teenager. So I think my dad was 17, my mom was 16.
Yeah, they was young and active.
So our first
young and active.
It was outside.
So they got married though, so we luckily, right?
Yeah, thank God. That's cool. You know, that's dope. That helps. So they, we was in a rental house. We was in a rental, you know what I'm saying? And then we was in a duplex.
A duplex, we were, right? That's right.
And then their first house that they bought was their crib. So the crazy thing about this is, when I went to NFL, but when he went, he wanted to buy my parents a new house, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So my mom was like, we still owe money on the old house, right? So mm-hmm. in our mind, it was like, okay, well, how much money you owe? And it was like $11,000. So he's like, well, how much is the house?
Right.
She was like, it was 40 grand.
Wow.
In my mind, I was like, 40,000?
Right.
Y'all ain't bought this yet?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
we didn't really have a understanding or concept of money at the time.
Nah.
Right.
So then, LaShawn.
And back then, like shelves, you can get shelves for way cheap, 20 right. grand.
Yeah.
Cribs was way cheaper. Now, you get a shelf, it's 100 grand in the hood. So. Yeah.
So LaShawn bought the house, right? And then now it's my dad's property. So at the time, we still didn't have really an understanding of real estate, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? But he owned the property, and then he had bought them a brand new house, like in the suburbs, off the cut.
And they still kept the crib. So they still kept
it. So they kept the house, right? So then he was saying, like, I want to fix it up and probably rent it out. Yeah. And at the time, he was like, okay. So he gave him some money to rent the place out. And when we came back, maybe, let's say, 6-7 months later, he totally had renovated. He had gutted it.
And then he got so crazy, right? My pops. So it was the basement, too. So upstairs, he was getting rent. And then the basement, he was getting rent.
Yeah, he got a little wild.
So I'm
he was hacking. He learned
the gang quick.
I don't know if he put that through zoning or none of that. right. He just did what he had to do.
Yeah.
And he was house hacking. Money. So that was the first time we was like, yo, this is all right. It was more about, for me, it was visually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, not so much the money problem. I was like, damn, like this crib didn't look like this one.
At all.
You know what I'm saying? So.
And that was like the cool thing, because like, it got better and better. So once we did that, I'm like, dang, you can do that?
Yeah.
And he said, what, 11,000 to 40,000? Like, so if we put more money into these type of houses, you know, it gets better.
Yeah, it's going to go up.
And another thing is, we're a real tight family. It's only me and him,
okay.
my mom and dad, right? So even now with a lot of her properties, if I can't be there, if he can't be there,
right,
my dad and mom will be there.
Keep it in the family.
Give him something to do.
Yeah.
So now, and then, before we even started, for all the viewers out there, the older brother's talking, he told us that he's always right, right?
No, so he really did say that behind the scenes.
Wait, hold on. So we work together in real estate, and we brothers, and he's telling me already that, yo, everything I do was right. So we have my parents.
Nah, I'll be right.
We have our parents in the middle of it.
The parents are the mediators.
They're wrong too.
No, they work with us though.
They're wrong?
They be wrong too.
Look, so we all work together, right? So there might be a property where, I'll give you a better example. So we did this flip. I think it was in like outside Philadelphia, right? So he's going back and forth about what type of mares we should get, what type of tile. He going in on the group chat. So I get out of, I think it was a practice, I think, because I've been doing like TV stuff. So I'm doing like practicing and everything like that. So I get out of practice. I'm like, hey, what's this dude talking about? He going back and forth with my mom and dad about what tile we should get and what mares. So stuff like that, small stuff. Now imagine if we want to buy a property that's 100 grand, 200 grand, whatever it is. Arguing, we paying too much, we not paying enough. So just imagine how these McCoy arguments get.
I can imagine. I can see that even having that helps keep you guys in check.
Yeah.
Because you can overinvest in a property very easily, 100%. Trying to overdo it. Like, you cannot be tiptoeing on marble floors in certain areas. It doesn't matter, right?
Absolutely.
It's not going to change the value. Luxury so who's apartments. Trying to keep you in budget?
So I'll be honest, I think that he's more tight with the money.
Here we go.
Okay, that's my man.
Thank you. Right.
Yeah, that's how it's supposed to be.
I get a little.
Though.
He's being right about this one.
I get trapped into, I be in Pinterest real heavy. You know, man, what I'm saying?
Pinterest will have you blowing a bag.
I sit with
that
the architect.
That shit look too pretty.
The architect be showing me all type of
upgrades.
And we
not living in it. I'm like, bro, we not living here.
Yeah, so
you want to make it nice, but not like, I'm a cop of squat in here.
It's a hard situation deciding, like, just because you're not living there, you know what I'm saying? You can't have the same amenities that you have in your home, but you want to have some pride in where you're living at and what you're putting out there in the market.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
But it's a hard one, though. And so we go back and forth.
Gotta pause that.
We go back and forth with the prices and all that.
Yeah.
You know, wow, that's dope, man. So your love from real estate came from your parents?
For him, I think.
For me, yeah.
For him. I think mine was, I was a sports agent. So I played in the NFL too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I played for 5 years, right? Okay. I had a much shorter career than LeSean.
Pause real quick. Okay. Shout out to your mother. They created some champions. Shout out to your mother and your father. They birthed some champions.
Absolutely. Oh, she'll tell you that too.
She got the Midas touch.
Yeah.
But I will say this about her. You know what? She's not into sports at all. Mm. Uh-huh. So she go to his games or my games, whatever, and she not even paying attention to the game. Mm. Right? And people used to be like, oh, your son, he's so good, da da da. She'd be like, I just want them to be self-sufficient.
Yeah.
She used to always say that. And at the time, I was like, what's he talking about?
Yeah,
she just wanted us to be in a place where we can provide for ourselves and our families. Mm. But you got to think, she had me when she was 16.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So in her mind, being self-sufficient was everything, right?
Yeah.
And even now, I'll be thinking like, she'll be calling me, like cussing me out about do this, do that. Or she's at my house right now in Florida. And she's like, LeSean, you got this nice house. You need to, you know, take care of your
lawn,
my backyard.
Everything.
Wow. Yeah.
But I appreciate that. Cause
but that's good though. She's keeping you grounded.
But that's what I'm saying.
Right. He's in a position where people don't like to tell him no.
Yeah.
Right?
Somebody got to say.
And when I tell him no sometimes, I know I get that he get this shoulder. He get real cold. He started hitting me with the eye, like on the text. Yeah. I know.
Just
eye.
He's like, yo, you gotta be late for these meetings.
I'm like, yeah, but my mom's is like a person that she still argues with him about everything. Yeah. And from business to his personal life, and I tell you, like, that'll always keep you grounded. You
they'll
know somebody's gonna check you.
For sure.
And he's gonna come back. He'll be mad, he'll come back. Just like I get mad, I'll come back.
Nah, that's dope though. Good. You need that in
family
your
business.
Yeah. So I think I fell in love with real estate. Honestly, I fell in love with it. I was a sports agent, right? And I was working for a different a gentleman, and he had a big company, right?
Mm-hmm.
We had the largest sports
agency
in football, right? And we had, let's say, at any time we had 100 clients, and I always was in charge of about 30 guys.
Nice.
So I went from playing to being on the other side, negotiating contracts. It was real cool. We had a disagreement about how we were going out recruiting the players.
Mm.
And he told me, he said, you know what? He said, that's a cool idea you got and all that. He said, the building's always going to have my name on it, right? And I was like, what?
Huh?
Like, who you talking to, right? He was like, the building's going to have my name on it. So however you feel, that's we're going to do it this way,
right?
Mm. Right? We're going to either sink or swim with that. And so I was so mad at the time, like, yo, I do a lot for the company. But what he really was teaching me was the power of ownership.
Absolutely.
Right? And the power of having equity. And he got a family business that he now is a super multimillionaire.
Mm.
I made up my mind to leave. And so real estate was something that me and him understood from being young, the concept of rent.
Yeah.
Right. My moms and pops, they had to make sure the rent was paid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We went to college, but both of us was on scholarship, but we had to pay rent. Now, it came from the university.
You had to pay it, though.
But we had to take it down to the little dude's office or whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I was like, okay. I think I was more financial. Like, I want to make the money and be my own boss.
Mm.
Where LeSean was more of like, it was emotional for him. Like, I want to do so much for my community. I want to be figure.
Yep.
And so it's cool to have a little bit of
hood that we got. The house we talking about, it was still in the hood. So all the other spots was just okay homes, but our house is really, really nice.
So that's kind of how we.
That's dope.
Yeah.
So you guys started building your rental portfolio at 2015, 2016?
2015.
Somewhere around there. And now you guys have 75 active units right now.
Yep.
Let's talk about that first deal that you guys did, right? How did that first deal go?
Nah, you should. So,
it must not have been that great.
No. Well, it's not. And I'll tell that to all the viewers. Like,
Southwest one?
It's not even that. It's just when you are in this business, you're going to have to learn. It's a learning curve.
Absolutely.
That I'm still learning every day. And I got mentors in the game. I learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
And LeSean learns, you know what I'm saying? And so he might sometimes say like, oh, you know a little bit more about that than me. And I'd be thinking like, nah, I just been doing it a little longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because while he was still playing, what happened was he had some friends. I want you to tell the story.
basically, to keep it short, right?
There we go.
Because I only rock with the friends no more.
Let's keep it brief.
Keep it real brief, though.
So, no, one of my friends I played with, actually, he didn't have a long career, but he made a couple of dollars, whatever, and he was... I was in Philadelphia, right? And I was running a show in Philadelphia. You know what I'm saying?
He was killing Philly.
I'm talking about going in North Philly in the Bentley or the drop top double R. Like, scary stuff, right? Yeah. So, but anyway, we was doing these properties and he had some. So I go check it out, right? They doing the work. I'm like, oh, it's nice. And I remember it from my pops, obviously, you know? So I'm like, dang. I asked him how much. He gave me a certain number, how much they're doing it for. At the time, some of them were doing flips, right?
Okay.
Buying them out. And then, like I said before, they were cheap too back then.
Oh, yeah.
So making good money on it. I'm like, all right, I'm going to rock with it. So once I kind of got involved, I still was playing. So at the time, like, it wasn't really, like, money to me for real. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he's my friend. But when I was getting the money back, they was beating me on it.
It was
right?
a little light. Right.
It was real light.
It was a little light.
And then, like...
Over-promising and under-delivering.
Right. So I said, cool. So my brother, like I told you before, we were real tight.
Yeah.
Very intelligent. So I said, cool. Once we started getting back on the real estate... I let him kind of run it, you know what I mean? Because I know these dudes was beating me. Mm-hmm. And then when I bring it to their attention, they don't know what I'm talking about. And then our relationship is like this. I'm not texting you, you're not texting me, you owe me money, you're not talking about it. So anyway, so I let my brother kind of handle it. And then ever since then, we've been running. I'm talking about, you know, having practices, having games. And after the game, you know, win or lose, we chill out. And then we start talking about real estate. I got this property, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And it just became a business. And we said, yo, let's just make it bigger. And then from one, two, start getting some duplexes to 75. I mean, it's been a great run. I mean, I just think about even like before you start, like that spot we started at our house, my pop's house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we go from getting like condos in Miami to doing, now we're in Miami looking at stuff, Philadelphia, and then in my backyard in Harrisburg. Before he goes, I like to talk about, because I'm big on my where I'm from, right? I'm saying? Yeah. He's big into that, but he's all about the glam of it, and like, you know, we making this, we making that. You know what I'm saying?
It gotta make sense.
Yeah. So
got to make both sense
for both.
Right. And a lot of people feel like that. I do too, but I'm more on giving back because I look at like I'm blessed. You know what I mean? All these players and people, young kids, they all play ball. Like he chose me, and my city's not a lot of guys that make it out.
Yeah.
So when I go around, like, all the kids be so happy to see me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, dang, okay, I got a lot of homeboys that didn't make it. So I be thinking my little stuff like, all right, giving jobs back. You know what I mean? Coming through, fixing up my properties. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. Hiring guys for that. You know, my color, my skin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even my neighborhoods. So like now, if you go to some of my neighborhoods, it look a lot better than what it was when I was younger.
Right.
Like stuff like that matter to me. You know, so I've been, now that I am retired, I've been meeting with, we have a new mayor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wanda Williams, she's very good. She's a sister too. Black sister strong. She's strong, right? When she got elected, I met with her first.
Auntie Wanda.
I said, listen, Auntie Wanda, I said, listen, right? The city's going to, you know, kind of follow me because who I am. But like, I want to give back. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that I could do for you? Because if you become mayor, you know how that is. Everybody's your pockets. Absolutely. They want to talk to you. No. How can I help my community where I'm from, your city? How can I make it better? And we talked about different areas in the city that she might like. You know, so I've been meeting with
different programs.
Yeah, the programs, city officials, city council, you know what I mean? Just trying to do everything to better my community. So that's a lot of the real estate is big for me because a lot of the cats I play with, I tell them that, like, yo, you got so much power because who you are in your city, go back there. You know what I mean? I'm gonna show you, I go there with you.
Yeah.
And we're gonna talk to the same people. And how can I fix up my community? Because the next dude might be, for example, like Michael Parsons. Mm-hmm. You might not know who that is, but He was the rookie deepest player of the year.
You might know.
The rookie deepest player of the year.
Well, thank you for letting me know.
Right. I said my person. So, but that's a prime example of like, yo, this dude is not, now he's prime time. And I probably affected his life.
Right.
He see me, I'm in this community, so.
It lets you know that it can be done.
That's it's representation.
Right.
Representation, absolutely.
And representation is just so important in our communities. And what I love about what you're talking about from your story, it's like there's a passion behind you getting the profit.
That's right.
So it's like passion and profitability. And you're also teaching people to come back and give back.
Absolutely.
So that is a really big deal.
Compassionate capitalism.
Because a lot of cats, they come to the city, they're not from there, they get this money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And they leave.
Yeah.
I hate that.
And they never go back.
Yeah, right. Build some stuff up. Man, now they got their rentals and all that, and then they leave.
Yeah, you guys got your sleeves rolled up. You guys are in the trenches in your hometown.
Right.
It's not like you send your PR people out there,
right?
Shit like that. Like even having this interview, we didn't have to go through no PR, no nothing. Right. You guys are just on some real shit. Like, yo, all right, we'll do it.
Because you like Jay-Z. So
that's what You know what it is.
Jay-Z.
We know who the
goats are. And he like MJ.
We know who the real goats are, but we're going to get to that later. Right? You see your
Team
brother.
LeBron over here.
You see these two over there already.
Like, we already own one over here. No, right. We're not quiet. We're reserved.
Listening. Right.
But you just listen.
I'm just all about facts. I don't do emotion.
Here we go with that. So let's talk about this development you guys got in your hometown, right? So you guys right now have 350 units in production.
You feel me?
You know what I'm saying?
Boys getting it popping. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Nah, go off, bro. You gotta celebrate yourself.
We wanna hear more about that.
Yeah.
Okay. Talk to us about how you align with the city and, you know, how did you get that development approved? So many people want to develop. And they think they just find a piece of land and develop, but there are so many hoops that you go through and so many steps. If you could just give the viewers three of the easy steps, like, you know, that you had to go through to really get this development.
I'll let you start it and then I'll finish. Because I've been doing a lot of work lately.
Yeah.
Just so y'all know that I've been doing a lot of work lately. Go ahead.
So here's real, why he says that is because, you know, when we really started the business, he was in the middle of being a primetime football player, right? Mm-hmm. How much time can he really dedicate it to you know, this business? No. So I was boots on the ground, and then we'd have our weekly reports, you know, we Zoom or whatever back then. I don't even know what he was doing, but we was communicating with the numbers. Now that he's retired, you know, he's putting in the work now. He's like, yo, we're doing this and this. I'm the boss. And I'm like, yo, this is wild. it's wild adjustment for me, right? But it's working. And I'm like proud of him. So I'll say that. But quick steps, right? The first thing is that I think people think that you have to know the mayor. You have to know. Everybody's not blessed enough like him that they can get a meeting with the mayor today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But these are all city officials, right? And they're elected officials.
Yeah.
So one of the first things you could do is start going to these like town hall meetings, city council meetings. Yeah. Whenever there's a project that needs zoning to be approved,
zoning meetings
is crazy.
They're always going to open it up to the floor, right? So they'll say, is anybody from the community have anything to say? That's your first chance. You can be like, hey, I don't want said building.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Now they're going to push back and fight because they got lawyers and whatnot, but that's your chance to see the decision makers in the room. Mm. Who do I need to talk to if I want to do a project? What are some of the people that have projects going right now? What are they doing?
Right. Yep.
Right? And I think that's like kind of the first step is to get to know your community from who are the button pushers. The second part, I think,
because real quick, they want to know who you bring to the city, like who's going to be in these areas.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? They all want to know that.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah.
So I think the second part I would do is after you get that done, I would look at what are other projects that have been done in your city, right? Mm-hmm. So you look at something that's like a comparable to what you're trying to build. And from that, you take what they have done, their successes and their losses. So you're going to be able to see really right real quick. Okay, who's the developer? You know what I'm saying? Who was the architect that they used on this project?
Right.
Who was the builder? What type of project is this? Is it a tax credit?
Mm-hmm.
Is it just regular like commercial?
Is it affordable market rate?
What are we doing?
Market rate, right.
Once you figure that out, then you kind of steal from their blueprint.
Mm. Yeah.
All of this stuff, this real estate stuff, is stealing intellectual property from other people.
See what they did and try to do it better.
Great.
Because that property he's talking about, we teamed up with a guy on that block, a developer, and we're kind of working with his architects a little bit. And because we like, look, man, this is what they doing all this, you know, all this cool stuff. I said, look, my man, listen, let's save this conversation. We want to do the same thing you did, but a little better, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your building was what, 10, 11 years old?
Right.
Okay, so what's the problems that you had when you was building it, right? Because it's talking about from the soil you up. What was the issues? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's take that, them problems, let's make it better for this project.
Absolutely.
They have this whole dialogue, these emails, all this long stuff. I get in the meeting, like, let's go, man. We got, what we doing?
You know what I'm saying? What's the problem? What's the solution, basically?
Yes.
Give it to me straight up.
Some people want to share, but not really. You know what it is
they want to share, but sometimes people want to do
business with their friends, though.
Right.
I had to tell him that sometimes.
You got to be a little friendly.
Word. I'm like, you can't just butter come into up. The meeting like, so what percentage are you trying to take?
How the kids doing?
Right. It's nice. Me and my son are doing this. He comes in there. As soon as he get there, like,
50 cent style, you see what I'm saying?
What are you talking about?
I'm like, yeah. Bro, but he, what's the number?
Like he's that. About that action, though. He want the action right now. Tell me what it is so you can make the shit.
But not a lot.
But for the long game,
that's why me and my brother are really good because
we play good McCoy, bad McCoy.
Because we've been in meetings sometimes and they beating around the bush and all this crap. I'm looking at this dude like, yo, my man.
Yeah.
See, another thing I learned from like dealing with like different financial advisors, because growing up, this is my thoughts, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Because a lot of our families and our backgrounds, you know, financial literacy is not our thing, right?
Right.
Nobody really has no money in the household.
Our community, for sure.
So we learned, all right, white guy coming in with a tie on, right? Went to school for all these different degrees and all that. He must know, right?
Yeah. Correct.
So as I'm sitting there, I'm like, yo, man, if I think I'm a smart guy, right? And if you're explaining something to me that I don't understand it, it might not be for me. Or you trying to be too smart or trying to get me, you know, or finesse me. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, man, let's stop all that.
Right.
What are we doing?
No.
He's tapping me on the table like, take it easy. No, because we're in business. Yeah. Let's do it the right way.
Yeah. It works.
Come on.
That's a good balance to have, though. You know, because at the end of the day, what is the number? Like, that's my personality. I want to know what the number is. Okay. I want to hurry up and get to the meat and potatoes.
Get to the point,
basically. I don't want to finesse too much, because especially in business, because what happens is they do try to talk over your head, or they give you all this long talk.
Right.
So that way, when you get to the end of it, they're like, the number is bigger because we know all this stuff.
Yeah.
Nah, you don't know that much. I got the money.
They're making an excuse for why the number is so big. I get it.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes that's what it is.
They want to massage you out before they
But y'all out. Make a great team, so y'all can walk in these rooms and make this stuff happen. So 350 units, y'all. Y'all got to tell us more.
Okay. So, all right. So the 75 units basically came from, we actually realized we were doing it the wrong way. We started basically just using our own money that we had made through other business ventures and whatnot. At the time frame, LaShawn was under the impression, like, I don't want to owe nobody nothing.
Yeah.
Right?
So y'all was cashing out everything.
Nah, he was paying for it from the muscle.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Right?
That's the financial literacy. I don't know nothing about
it. But I get it. I get it because, you know, as black people, we're taught about, you know, you don't want to be in debt.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We don't understand that there's good debt, really good debt. And leverage is everything.
Leverage is everything.
Right.
Mortgage is great debts. I love mortgages.
Mortgage credit, all that.
I'm the mortgage guy. I love that shit. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So the 75, most of those units we built trying to just buy as many single family residents in Philadelphia that we could, right? We just wanted to buy them and then basically leave something behind for my two kids.
So the 75 units is more single families?
Yes, they're all single
families. All single families.
All right.
So 75 different properties.
Yep. Well, some are duplexes, some are triplexes, but for the most part,
all residential.
They're all residential, right? Okay. They're not multi-units, okay? So we just recently started getting into multi-units because we started developing banking relationships.
On the commercial side.
Right.
Right. Mm. Okay. And a lot of that I got from my guy, Caesar.
That's the best part. That's the best
part.
Shout
out to Caesar.
Shout out to my guy, Caesar. Was like, yo, you know, you can start building these banking relationships. They'll start doing business with you. You know what I'm saying? You guys have the background in the experience, and you also got capital.
Yeah.
So with those two things, you should be able to flex your muscle with having the banks compete for your business.
Yep. Absolutely. I remember that meeting we had with him. Yep.
So to go forward to like the 300 units, right? Mm-hmm. So what we started doing, a little bit came from experience and just working. And the second part just came from just understanding who are the players in the city and what we want to do. So like LaShawn said, we went and we sat with the mayor and we was like, hey, like, you know, we've already got an affordable housing project that we've done.
Right.
Okay. We've already got a teen foster care advocacy program where after a kid gets to a certain age in foster care, he has to get put back into the system.
Mm-hmm.
But we built a home for them so that they can stay until they find.
And that's my mom. That's my mom's property.
Right.
That's beautiful.
That's my mom's property.
So beautiful and smart.
So giving back is our thing.
Thank you. So with that, right, it was like, okay, now that we have these projects and you can go in the city and look at them, what do you need?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So she talked about, like, you know, I know you guys want to do market rate apartments because that's where the money's at. She's like, but I want you guys to have an affordable housing component mm-hmm. in it. So give us a percentage of those properties that you're building to affordable housing. So if you have, let's say, 50 units, you have to, you know, donate 10% or maybe
20%. 20%.
To them, you know. And the prices actually is not that far off.
Nah.
You're still going to be profitable.
Yeah.
And you're doing something good for the city.
For sure.
And just because it's affordable housing doesn't mean that there are bad people.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep. You're right about
People think that.
Because they think that for sure. So, I don't want them messing up my neighbors. Yeah. I don't want them. No, it's not even like that.
They're good people.
Good people.
I say that sometimes with my apartments. Like, I don't want certain people messing up. But when I look at the tenants, I'll be like, man, let me see what you did.
Yeah.
Before I let you on my spot.
Look, it's your right as a landlord to kind of do whatever you want to do, right? You want to have the right people in there. You don't want people beating up your apartments.
Right,
but I
think
the affordable housing piece is key.
No, it's cool.
Because it gives you a lot of incentives, too, with the city, right?
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that, too, so, when you finish your...
All right. So what I was saying is, like, so we started meeting with the mayor. LaShawn's actually been taking the leadership with that, meeting with the mayor, the architects, the engineers, and just getting all the plans together and sitting in front of... He's actually sat in front of city council, talked about what we want to do and where we actually have been.
They want to know
our approval process. And a lot of the cool things that we're doing that, like, make, you know, us proud is, like, now that we have these buildings that are going to production, right, we have the opportunity to be the, you know, the general contractor, the owner, that we can sub out to who we want. You know, we can take the bids from different companies that have to build for us. And by doing that, we can make sure that we have minority people in place that can make this money.
He's saving paper.
Right? Mm-hmm. So you got big downtown areas that all these buildings are being built, all these apartments, but it's a bunch of people that don't look like us, that don't, you know,
they're not from the area.
From where we're at.
Nah, they're not.
That's going to make the money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what, you know, a big part of it, he's really did it. Like, nah, this is what I want.
Yeah.
I want this for this place. And then I just kind of make sure, like, all right, well, are they credible? Have they done this? Have they done that? If they're so, that's where we're at. So that's how we've gotten the most of the, we're still waiting on a couple from the 350, but that's kind of how we've gotten most of them approved. We're set to break ground. Coming up, we set the break ground in August on our latest 40-unit building.
Okay,
we've built in opportunity zones, which are basic.
Oh, wait, before you get to opportunity zones, right?
Got me.
Even in that the 40 units he's talking about, it's a $200 million courthouse, right?
Okay.
Built across the street, right?
Wow,
a $75 million PA archive building,
state archive,
right?
Building.
Okay. Come on, man. And then Hershey. Y'all heard of Hershey, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Yo, they having a whole clinic, like Hershey Clinic, right? For like $45 million.
Really?
The whole block is crazy.
So basically,
your 40 unit is right
across the street. You can walk over there.
So are these going to be properties that you build for people to rent, or will they be able to purchase any of them?
Just rent.
Yeah, oh, y'all holding everything. Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna tell you like this. Here's why, right? Because I think about, so when we first started looking at the numbers, it's like, damn, like, you know, you have whatever type of loan, your construction loan, right? To pay off that loan for that money. And then it's like 30 years might be the number, right? Let's hypothetically put that out, 30 years a loan to pay back the bank.
Right.
And so it's like, damn, like, you know, by the time I'm 30, I'm gonna be a certain age. Whatever that age is, I ain't gonna say it, but you know what I'm saying? But the good thing is that these buildings are gonna last for 60 years, 70 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can literally give that to my son,
generation,
who will be whatever his age is gonna be, but he's gonna be a young man. My daughter will be a young woman.
So, and the difference is now they'll know about financial literacy then.
Absolutely.
See what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And because y'all breaking the
ground
for
it. Breaking the ground, right.
So that's why we wanted to make sure that we kept a large number of the property. The money when you sell a property, it's quick.
I agree.
I love it.
But you're in it for the long run.
Right. Well, we do both.
And let's be honest, you don't sell no roof. You don't sell real estate. You don't sell properties. You know what I mean? You keep them, John. Them units, you keep them.
Yeah.
So
earned income and passive income.
Yeah, you have a mixture of both. Yeah. Well, a mixture of both.
Well, you want to talk about the strategy we do with our flips to convert them to...
Just to get the money and then put them to the...
Well, before you get there, I want to ask about, since we're talking about the affordable housing piece, right?
Yeah. Like the opportunity zone.
What are the benefits of a developer? Let's say with somebody in our audience, they have a plot of land, they're looking to build 10 units, 20 units. What is the benefit of them converting at least 20% of that to affordable housing?
Unless you take this one.
Speed. Mm-hmm. This is the number one thing. It's like, look, if you have to go to any city in America, right, except for Houston, who don't have zoning, which is crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. You can build anything.
That's the wildest thing I ever heard.
First of all,
Houston is a wild, wild west, for real.
Houston crazy.
Real estate got me shook.
So it's speed. Like, it's like, all right, I want to have a project done in a certain amount of time. The first thing that you're going to have to do is you're going to have to get this project approved. The project got to go through zoning,
right?
And you're going to have to get the approval from the city, right? The city council, whatever. So when you come there and say, let's say it's in an urban area, and you say, yo, I'm building market rate apartments. They're going to be luxurious. They're going to be nice. The first thing that they're thinking
like
is you're
that.
Getting rid of us. You're getting rid of the people that are from this community.
And you're getting rich off us, too. They think like that, too. Yeah.
So if you say that, they're like, damn, like, nah, I'm not approving this.
Right.
And then you have to bring your lawyers back. You got to keep going through it. But if you come and say, hey.
And then real quick, then they be voting, though. They be like, no. Some say, no.
Like,
it's crazy, though. Like,
yeah, and because, again, for the reason of
he be trying to stare him down like that's going to work. Like.
I had to go in front of him.
You had to have the conversation.
Yeah, like, let them know what we're doing, what we're trying to do, what we're bringing to the community, et cetera, et cetera. How many, or percentage-wise, of market rate joints, and then we had to see how many affordable.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted to know everything, right?
Absolutely.
And I'm sitting in front, and they don't really care. I mean, they care who I am, but they don't care because it's the city they worried about.
Absolutely. Their jobs.
Yeah, that's their jobs, right. And I respect that.
They
got to
protect the citizens.
Right. So the affordable piece gives them something to basically tell the community, like, hey, they're making affordable apartments for us. They've promised a certain percentage of minority contracts, which basically alludes to jobs, African-American or minority jobs.
Right.
People want to see that. If I'm voting for you, I want you to bring jobs to my
area.
And I want you to bring homes and housing. So that's kind of what that does for you. It gives you the speed to get through those long meetings. Sometimes you can be trapped for like a year and a half going through zoning and whatnot. You know, so that's kind of why it's good to have those friends that I talked about, going to meet these people, seeing what they want and kind of working from at that angle.
So the affordable housing piece speeds up your whole timeline. when you're trying to get your plans, permits, and everything approved by the city?
It does. You have to realize that by doing affordable, you are going to take less profit. Mm-hmm. You have to be okay with that. And for LaShawn, he's a lot cool. He's a lot more cool with taking less profit in that area. He's also got a lot more money than me. Yeah. So me, I'm like, well, hold on. No.
But we doing so much. I mean, like.
But that's his thing.
Volume. You'll make up for it somewhere else.
Yeah. See, money, you can't make money everything. We gonna get it. Went from one house with her dad to having 75 units, having 300 under production. So we gonna get the paper. That's nothing. And we doing really well. But we just, some things we do, disagree on.
You do want to have a why, you know what I'm saying? So.
That's a good why, though.
It's a good why.
Look, you're giving back to your community. You're putting jobs in the community.
Right.
You're not displacing any residents, because I think when anybody, especially, you know, us, right, black people, we want to get to the bag. We all be thinking about is let's get to the bag.
Run the play,
cool. Right? We all trying to run plays all day long, but you got to think about, especially in real estate, these are people.
Oh, absolutely.
Not everybody's at the same level in life.
Absolutely.
You know, everybody can't afford to do what, you know, all of us are doing, right? So it's tough when you're trying to develop and you want to get that cash, but you got to think about, damn, are you going to displace? This could be your aunt. This could be your uncle.
Yeah. So I'm sometimes with the people that be late with the rents and all that, I'll be feeling bad. Mm-hmm. Now I get away from all that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's when you got to step out because you got too much of a heart.
You can't have too much of a heart. You know what I mean?
You can't be a sucker because it's professional tenants.
It ain't always start like that.
Yeah, now I get out of.
But it's good though to have diversity and inclusion. You know, so we have inclusion when you're getting out these contracts, you're going to have people. And then we have an affordable housing crisis.
Absolutely.
Going on in America.
Word. Yes. Yep.
And oftentimes when you look at it, when we're having that crisis, the people that are at the bottom line of that are minorities.
Yes.
So for you to be minority builders, and developers, it is important that you do have have that incentive that we are being a part of the solution. Because when you're a part of the solution, you'll actually have more. You'll gain more because people will start following along, and they'll see that you're giving back. So then you can kind of balance it out by having a big deal here, something luxurious, but by keeping an affordable housing like incentive and an affordable housing part, I can see that helping you get into other cities.
Yes.
I can see that help you with having those relationships with the mayors, the city councilmen. Yeah. They need that.
One thing I forgot to mention, actually, you know what, is that one benefit to doing an affordable housing piece, this is so crucial.
The tax part.
Nah, it's that you're able to go to the city and apply for certain grants.
Every city has, that's true.
Right. So if I'm doing some type of initiative that you want to do veteran housing or whatever, and I put that in the community, right? Senior citizen housing, I can also then go back to that same county commissioners, the same mayor, et cetera, and be like, I want to put a grant in for this. Mm-hmm. And they know what you're doing, and that helps with the bottom line.
That's a gem.
Yeah. Market rate, they ain't doing a market rate like that. So
that's a big gem.
I want to ask you real quick, you talked about like helping out people and et cetera, right? Mm-hmm. So how do y'all, before I talk about it, how do y'all feel about opportunity zones?
I love opportunity zones. I've been looking into it.
I love them.
Okay. I just finished a project representing tiny home community in Atlanta. Opportunity Zone, have another one coming
up. We're at Atlanta, we're at?
It's College Park. It's South Park Cottages. And so they built 29 tiny homes, and it was more about affordable housing. So that part, and I've been looking into Opportunity Zones for myself. You know, I'm looking to develop a community. So I've been looking at lands and Opportunity Zones in cities that actually have the money. A lot of the cities in Atlanta, they miss out. A lot of the counties in the metro Atlanta area misallocated some of their funding. So you'll see they'll put more funding towards like, they thought certain things like amphitheaters and stuff would bring in the income, but they made that decision post COVID.
Okay.
So now we're on a mission to find where the funding is outside of the city of Atlanta. I can't deal with them. Mm-hmm. Too much work. I mean, I love the city of Atlanta, but it's too much work. It's so much red tape around it. It's so expensive. Right. You know what I mean? But when you know, that's why I wanted to make sure it was very important to say that when you understand the opportunity zones, when you understand that you have to have a passion behind your purpose, because we are like, everybody is not doing as well. I remember the first house I sold to someone that got down payment assistance and how hard she cried just to buy a house. And she had no money out of pocket. Right. And I never want to get too far away from that. As we grow in our industry and you grow as individuals, you never want to forget that there are people that they can work really hard, but they may never quite get there.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. And the least you can do is put them in an opportunity to own something for themselves and their family.
Absolutely. That's dope. You guys got a couple projects going on right now in opportunity zones, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Let's talk about that.
Go ahead, brother.
We are building a All right, so our biggest project to date, we do a lot of crowdfunding with other NFL players. Mm-hmm. That's something that me and LaShawn are super passionate about because, like he mentioned earlier, a lot of times it's somebody else telling you what you should do with your money.
Right.
And us not having the education to say, like, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But there's the NFL is filled with tons of players, post and current, mm-hmm. that, you know what I'm saying, they want to do things in their community. They want to give back. So
so when they see guys like you or right. their sales doing mm-hmm. it, it's easy for them to get involved with it. Mm-hmm. You know, like I was telling somebody yesterday, we were at this event about real estate. And, you know, I'm used to getting like young players or even players that's my age. Like, yo, you know, I get look at my DMs. Oh, Shady, man, you had a great career or this and that. Or you know, or even sometimes, you know, certain girls with the blue checks, you know, yeah. me checking for me. Yeah, yeah. But it's crazy how now, right?
Come on, man.
No. Listen,
though. They got thrown out there.
I'm
just being real with you. It's crazy how like how things change because like now that same girl I was talking about, she hit me up. I'm thinking like, she about to get at me. Mm-hmm. What's up with the real estate? I'm like, oh. but I say that because like everybody feels more comfortable when they see somebody that looks like them
absolutely.
Or in the same lane. Because like absolutely. From entertainers to ball players, we get money so fast right. and you have it. And everybody wants to get it.
Absolutely.
Right? Especially people that don't look like us. You know what I mean?
Right.
And now, so when I'm doing real estate documentaries, I'm teaching this, I'm teaching that, I'm showing you this, I'm showing you that, I'm showing you what I'm doing. I'm showing you where I'm at, right? I go from the field to in my trap. What I call my trap is my houses. Mm-hmm. Fixing them up, showing them this, showing them that. So when they see that, they like it. So I got so many ball presses hit me up like, yo, how can I get down with y'all? So when he talked about, you know, with the strength and the players and different opportunity zones we have, a lot of ball players is reaching out.
Yeah.
So now not only are we going to make money together, that's the name of the game,
mm-hmm. yeah.
but we're going to teach you it. So that opportunity project he's talking about,
mm-hmm.
a lot of ball players involved with that.
Right.
You know?
That's going to be amazing for them though.
Yeah.
You know, and it's amazing for good. You guys. Like it's, you want to give back and everybody got to eat, right?
Right.
They always say if you're the only person, like they always say like people make all this money in their absolutely. Careers in the NFL, yeah. NBA, whatever, and they get out and they be close to broke. And a lot of times that's because of financial literacy, sure. not understanding what to do with the money.
Yeah.
In real estate, you know, people, is it 98% of millionaires, they've been created by having real estate or being involved in real estate.
There you go. Y'all heard that?
Yeah. So,
that's a gem.
Yeah,
that's a big gem right there.
So I'm really proud of you guys for bringing them along because a lot of them, they're going to see that they're creating their financial futures by investing in real estate and not being taken advantage of because I'm sure that to have that happen to you, I'm sure that kind of burnt you a little bit.
You mm-hmm. need a gym mm-hmm. like sound.
You know what? We got that. And
we got a
studio.
Bang, or whatever it is.
You know what I'm saying? Drop a gym on them, son.
Remember I told you that? Like, he becomes the boss in rooms?
Yeah,
he just started telling y'all what y'all going to do with y'all?
No, I appreciate that.
That was quick.
That was quick, though. But I rock with it, though, because he's right.
Real fast.
Get back to the project, man.
All right. So, okay. Opportunity zones basically are places of land that have been dictated or allocated by the government
right.
that need development, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To basically incentivize right. builders to go out there to fix these places, they give you a lot of tax breaks, yeah, right?
Absolutely.
So it's usually like anywhere from a 10 to 12 year tax abatement that you can get from yeah. investing in these properties. Yeah. Right. So what happens is a lot of people know you can come to these properties, use your capital gains, mm-hmm. money that you've made from another business.
Or bring it to the hood. Come on, bring that money to the hood.
Bring it right
there. You put it in these places where a lot of us are from.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then you build it up. Now, you're still going to have to go through zoning and whatnot,
the whole
shebang. But at the end of the day, you can build these places up. Yeah. So opportunity zones have been something that we've looked at. It's made a lot of noise for us because it's the places where we come from.
Right.
It's the inner city.
And we've been on both sides.
And then you can build
it
up.
Saying? Best of both worlds.
Yeah.
So better
got
than us.
A project, right. Nice. We got a project right now, and we have two opportunity zone projects. One is in Center City, Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
It's dead smack in the middle. It's literally, it's about 600 feet away from medical development, mm-hmm. which means they're building a hospital, put it that way. I didn't want to, you know what I'm saying? They're building a hospital and then also a university is being built.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. A different school part of a university.
Yeah.
Right. So if you know about Pittsburgh, it's University of Pitt. There's Duquesne, Roger Morris,
Carly Mellon.
So we're building right in the center of all of that. We're building about 235 units.
Dope.
And we're actually putting together a strong team.
He said Philadelphia, but he meant Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Putting together a strong team of it's ball really players. Athletic guys, ball players, because they, most of them know exactly where it's at, right? Mm-hmm. He went to University of Pittsburgh, so when I talked to him about it, he's like, bing. You know, other University of Pittsburgh guys are like, yeah, I know where that's at.
Yeah.
So that's one project. And then we have a project in our hometown, which he spoke about a little bit earlier.
Real quick, $800 million hospital?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And then it's on campus?
Yeah.
And if you know anything about Pittsburgh, that's where all the big medical, everything, they come there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's 300 feet away from the hospital and another 600 feet away.
Ching, ching. Let me stop. Let me stop.
You made the sound for us. I appreciate it.
Nah. It's for, this dude's wild. I'm doing this all day. All day it's like this.
So let me ask you this though, right? Coming from the NFL. You know, there's always horror stories about people getting their money taken.
That's for sure.
Right?
For sure.
And you guys are crowdfunding and collaborating with your fellow NFL folks.
Mm-hmm.
How easy or hard is it for you guys who are coming from the same places, the same background, going through the mud, playing in the NFL, how easy or hard is it to get them to be on the same page with you, to invest with you? Because everybody's skeptical. Black people, we don't trust each other.
We don't, but see, right? but the thing is, in the league, it's a little different. I think,
how's like, that culture? Because we don't know.
So, I mean, I won't, you know, drop names and all that, but when I hit certain guys up, you know what I mean? Mostly guys I hit up, I know, right? And then other guys, the other part, I hit up guys that I see what they're in there and where they're at in their lives, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like some young dudes, I see the way they post, what they post about. Okay, bet. So he likes family. He's all about saving his money, right? He don't have super crazy jewelry on, mm-hmm. and he don't have no contract, stuff like that. Okay, so he's trying to better himself, right? He's trying to be smarter with his money.
Right.
And I reach out to these people, right? And then I'm showing you what I'm doing from my page, and when you talk to me, like, I'm real. You know, if you call me, I'm going to talk to Sammy on this show. Like, I'm going to talk outside, right?
Yeah.
So now some of that, some players probably won't rock with me. Just like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't trust it. Because you might not trust it.
Yeah.
But a lot of guys I have talked to, I've been showing them, you know, the ropes. Like, I've been on your shoes. I've been on your side. And you know what type of money I made. Like, why would I jip you? You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And I think you're always going to be cautious just because it's your paper, you know, and they might feel like that. But that's why we have these type of, like, seminars. Or we have these type of presentations where we can show you. That. And another thing we do, right?
Big presentation.
Because I've been a ball player, right? Bring your advisor, because y'all know y'all trust them. Bring them dudes.
Yeah.
And every question they got, we're going to answer it the right way. We're going to put everything on paper. Our biggest thing we want to do, right, this is our ultimate goal, because I'm glad you asked about, you know, guys getting gypped over.
Yeah.
It happens all the time. We want to get to a point where we're putting so many ball players in good deals, right, and our name and our rep is so solid, see what I'm saying, that we want to strike a deal with the NFLPA. The NFLPA is like our union.
Yeah,
and they protect the players, right? They've done a great job so far, I think, with like after football with the benefits, right? I think they're doing a great job with that. They're getting a lot better with the contracts, right? Getting a lot better with that. I think the last part is, you know, these horror stories about guys going broke. Guys in the Hall of Fame don't got no paper.
Absolutely.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's the part we want to come in.
Financial literacy piece.
Well, listen, homie. Well, listen. Roger Goodell, Roger.
Roger. Right?
Looks just like that, Roger, right? look. Listen.
Yo, Roger.
Straight,
he is wild. Listen up.
Straight to it. I see your issues because I've been there, right? And I ain't no regular player. You know what type of player I am.
Hall of
Fame. We know each other. Yeah, we know it. We on a good level. Listen, you see the numbers, what we doing. You see the type of players that we working with, right? Let's change that narrative.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL is all about their shield, right?
Yeah.
My man got jammed up with the whole gambling thing,
mm-hmm.
right? They went crazy about that.
Got rid of him.
So it's the shield that they care about. So let's protect the shield the whole way, right? Guys was getting with the injuries, the head injuries.
Yes.
What they do? They start paying money out. Okay. We got to protect their shield.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Let's protect it the right way, okay? So these guys having these horror stories about their money.
Be proactive.
Proactive. Now look,
instead
now look.
Reactive.
Correct.
So now you pay us. Mm-hmm. I mean, nothing free, bro.
Nah.
You pay us,
gotta
right?
Get
come pay us the McCoy boys.
Yeah.
And the crew.
Uh-huh.
And we'll put these guys in safe investments and we'll show you the ropes, you know, and just have like seminars and teaching them.
Yeah.
So, because we look the same.
Put us on that platform.
Yeah,
talk the language.
Let's talk the language.
Talk the same language.
Some dudes I might touch, you know, guy might be from Newark, New Jersey. He might be from Atlanta or wherever.
Yeah.
We can talk that ball language because we all in the locker room, like, yo,
right.
He just hit for 30 million. He hit for 100 million.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do with it?
Yeah.
We're going to do whatever the guy with the tie says, right?
Basically.
Nah.
And that's not right.
You see what I'm saying?
But that's how
it's been. That's the culture.
So that's the ultimate goal. So I'm glad you asked that about the horror stories, because that's the ultimate goal. We're doing all this 300 production, 75, you know, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the ultimate goal is to get there.
Yeah. It's to really unite.
It's honestly, there's so much strength in numbers, man.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Collaboration is greater than competition.
I do a lot of reading. I do a lot of, you know, just researching. And I see that, you know, some of these big billionaires, they do so many deals with each other.
Agreed.
It's a lot less competition at the top than people actually think. The top, top.
Yeah.
Not the top that we can touch. The top that we can't even see.
Yeah.
They work with each other because my value of my property goes up when yours goes up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to build when, you know, and they help each other. And I think stuff like that. So dealing with NFL players, our thing is like, look, bro, you have so much power.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So let's use your power for what you want to use it for. What do you want to do? I think that a lot of guys invest in real estate. They don't know they do. Right. Here's what they do. Their advisor gets their check and he says,
oh, here we go. Go ahead.
He says, I'm going to invest 8% or whatever in real estate, whatever. I'm going to invest a certain amount of real estate. You're going to get an 8% return every year.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which you do. And so you like, damn, okay,
like,
great.
I mean, like, 8%. Thank you. You're happy.
You have no idea where that dollar went.
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm. What they doing with it.
Right. So what we teach is like, look, that dollar, that you can make a bigger than 8%.
Yeah,
why are they giving you 8?
I was going to say something, but
because
I was
because
like,
they're probably making 20.
Right, you could have
probably making 20.
So
if I tell you 8 to 10, you're like, dang, for real?
Yeah.
You get a larger return, right?
On average, that's a good return.
Absolutely.
Especially with stocks.
Yeah.
You know, that's like, oh, I had a 12% year. They're like, oh, great.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yo, you can get a bigger return. You can actually know where you put the money at, right?
You can see it.
You can touch it.
You can touch it. That's why I love real estate. I tell them all the time.
Here's the best part about all of that. If you got a big brother, that's like, you know what I'm saying?
Smart, you saw how he said big brother, right?
You know he knows his stuff. And he be saying, instead of him saying like, yo, let me get 100 bands, you can say no and be like, look, put on this project. This project's going to make you 100 bands. Because when you were dealing with family and you the NFL dude, he know, worse his friends, not really his family.
Oh, wait,
always ask for
real money. Quick, one of my best friends right here, he younger than me. When he came in the league, I was probably like one of my 8th year.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And he was a rookie, but he was nice. Big dude, 6'5", you know what I mean? His brother was on trial for like something he did. Yeah, I leave it at that, right?
Yeah, we leave it
at that. He go to jail.
Yeah.
My man, my youngin', well now he's older, but he just hit for like $70 million deal, right?
Wow.
Paper change. You see what I'm saying? His brother's coming home. We have that seminar in Miami.
Yeah.
I said, listen, what I'm gonna do. He's bringing him, right? I said, you gotta get him out your pocket. He already thinking how I'm thinking. He said, I'm going to have him rocking with my brother, right?
Yeah.
To show you the ropes, you know what I'm saying? And he's going to come invest.
For a fee.
Or at least learn. Yeah, for a fee.
No.
But anyway, well, look, you see what I'm saying? Because that's how that works.
Yeah.
Talking about keep him out your pocket. Nah. So now y'all got to take the same thing that we're teaching you.
Right.
He's from Newark, Jersey. Go to Newark and do it.
Mm-hmm.
See how that works?
Yeah. That's key. For
each one teach one.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We gain some money because we're going to get some money.
Absolutely.
And then, but I'm teaching my brother. Now he's teaching his brothers.
But that's the most important thing about any of this, right? Is to be able to teach your community.
That's right.
Right? And that's why me and Kiana do this show is because, look, we do real estate. We love real estate. But what sense is it for us to keep this intellectual property in our heads? We got to spread this to the community as much as possible so that way people can go out there and execute at a high level. So I love what you guys are doing.
Appreciate
by not
that.
Just saying, yo, guys, we can make you 10%, give me your money, and we ain't going to show you nothing else.
It's a lot of that out there, too.
But that's why people get screwed.
Right.
Especially athletes, because the suits look at us as dumb.
Yeah.
We can't understand this.
Yep.
It's over your head.
And we make easy cash.
Easy cash.
So to them
it's easy. But it's hard work.
Yeah, yes. It's hard work.
It's hard
work. I'm learning that part from the real estate. Like, woof. This is work. I mean, I just had to go out there, run, and catch, make a guy miss, score a touchdown. This is work, you know what I'm saying? Anyway.
That's light work for you.
Yeah.
This right here is hard. This is crazy work.
Easy work. Easy work.
Yeah. So, I mean, just somebody had to teach me, and you know, somebody's teaching him, and we just learning as we go, and then we would love to be able to teach other people the same thing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Now, that's dope, man. So, look. Let's we spoke about your opportunity zones. We talk about the crowdfunding and the joint ventures. I love that with the NFL players.
Yeah.
Are they gonna allow you guys to really start teaching them like financial literacy and everything like that?
So here's the thing. All right, so as a there's the NFLPA is the union, right? And it's the players' union, and then you have the sports agents.
Mm-hmm.
So they basically are the agents to the police. They're police the agents, right?
Okay.
So I was a sports agent and a player. LaShawn's a player. And so they want to make sure that they finish these horror stories. They want to promote guys doing well.
Right.
So we saying it's like, look, we do
like walking
the right
like walking examples.
Yeah. We transparent with all our numbers.
Yeah.
We have testimonials from our guys that have done deals with us. How much money they made, how much money they put in.
They're going to check us out.
They can speak about that. We won't, but they will ask them.
Absolutely. Yep.
And so it behooves them to be like, yo, like these dudes is doing, they doing what they say they gonna do.
Yeah. Yep.
Cause I don't need the NFL players. I want it. I want to help people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so does he. He's an older figure now, and he wants guys to look at him for.
No, he did not.
Not really.
No, you see his face.
I'm
gonna tell you this. Check this out. When he started with the league, he was
20.
He was 20 years old.
I was so young.
My mom had to sign the contract.
That's how young I was.
Really?
Oh, that's wow.
I had to be the power attorney.
Yeah, he couldn't just put his name on paper, right?
That's how crazy I was. Like, I'm not able to be here.
That's cool.
What am I even doing in the league? You know what I mean?
That's why you're going to the Hall of Fame now.
That's cool.
But towards the end of his career.
He's tripping.
Me and him is here, though.
At the end of his career, they was like, yo, Unc, what's up?
What's
up, OG?
They hit you with the Unc. Nigga was like, what y'all calling me? So I was like, yeah, welcome. It feels good here. You know what I'm saying?
You love it on this side?
Yeah, the side is cool.
I mean, you know, to be honest, right? I could have played last year, and I could have got a championship last year. The Rams hit me up. Yeah, what's up? I'm cool. Can you available? But the real estate was doing good, and
man,
you know what I mean.
So look,
if there ever was cap on that show, you out? That's what you wanted?
No, I was done.
It was a wrap for you.
Nah, he just didn't want. I could tell.
Yeah.
He did have a team that was a bad team. You know, we talk every day, right? So he's like, yo, this team called me. They want to sign me. And their team is real bad. Mm-hmm. He said, bro, it's cold there. And they weak.
Damn.
I ain't doing
it. Ain't worth it.
I'm a rookie.
And you know what? But I told my mom when she told me that, he was like, he don't want to play. I was like, that means a couple things, mom. One, he's secure with what he's done. He's secure where his money's at. He's and he's secure with his future.
He's happy with his career.
Right.
We can't knock him. I might have wanted him to play for the terrible team to see him.
Yeah.
But that's for me. Right. I don't got to take them hits in the cold. You know what I'm saying?
But you can't tarnish your legacy, though. You can't.
Agree.
A lot of guys don't know when to wrap it up.
Bro, you've been doing it since you've been five.
And you get old, they try to like.
You've been doing it since you've been five.
That's all you know.
Right.
Exactly. Your life is based upon, like 4 years ago, I could have told him, like, where you would be in April in 2015. Uh-huh. Like, you know what I'm saying? If it was 5 years past that, he would tell me exactly where, because they on a schedule.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm going to be reporting to minicamp.
Yeah, that is tough now. Yeah.
I know, you know exactly where you're going to be at every year. And then it's like, when that changes, it's like, damn, what do I do now? I got a whole day. I ain't got nothing to do today.
So let me lead to this, though. Good question here. What advice would you give to someone that's playing ball to transition? Because you know, all right, maybe I got a year or two left, right? What advice? What are three things you're going to give somebody that's in the league right now to transition into the business world?
I don't know about three, right? I'll give you one good one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a big Kobe Bryant fan, like crazy Kobe Bryant fan. And he talks about why a lot of guys go broke is because your passion is to get to the league. You're a little kid, you're playing ball, everybody loves you. You want to make money, you want to do all these things, right? So you're passionate about it. You work hard, you're training every day. So then when you're not doing that, I'm retired. Now what? What's your next passion? Because if you don't have no passion, what you going to do? You're not going to chase that dream. You're not going to wake up early to study real estate, to read books, to do the flying on a plane with the audio. You're not going to do it because you're not passionate about it. So whatever it is that you're passionate about, find that. The same way you did with playing ball. And when I heard him say that, man, like, I'm like, damn, that's crazy because he's right. I'm not going to go as hard for something I don't love, you know? So that's the biggest advice because everybody's different. I play with dudes that listen to rock and roll. I play with dudes that listen to whatever they wear, goatee, whatever it is. But they have something they're passionate about. We all come from different places. Find whatever it is you're passionate about and stick to it. You know, I think you'll be fine.
Dope.
I love that.
Dope. Let me ask you this. I got to keep it to sports now. Tom Brady.
Oh, wait, before you get into that,
uh-huh.
My last Kobe Bryant story.
That was dope, though. I appreciate that. Right
so my last Kobe Bryant story, right? So my real first investment was Body Armor. You know what that is?
Yes.
So Body Armor, right? Actually, to be honest, it's just to, you know, beat my chest a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Since my man called me OG and all that.
Okay, talk it.
I was the first athlete on the label.
Really?
I was the first rapper on the label. You know what I'm saying? me, Gronkowski, Rob Gronkowski.
Kobe?
No.
So you was there before Kobe?
Holla.
Oh, okay.
My man, Richard Sherman, I think. Remember the cornerback?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we was on there first, and had the opportunity to really cash out. And I decided to take shares instead of, like, you know what I mean?
Pay me in equity.
Yeah, give me some paper, and then I'll take some equity. You know, I liked the way it was going. 50 Cent hit him over the head with the vitamin water, and I met with the guys. I liked what they was talking about. Well, if you did it for them, you could do it again, right? Why take the cash? Waited it out, and then Kobe Bryant came on board. So when Kobe came, I was like, damn, Kobe here? Right. So we put a little couple dollars to it, you know, to get more shares, whatever. And we had the opportunity because we were always shareholders. So it was like an option, whatever. And then this crazy group came that I'm so happy they came, named Coca-Cola. They bought it for like $8, $9, $10 billion.
A billion.
Wow. So you can do the math, you know what I'm saying?
Cashed out.
Holla. That was my first real. So everybody like, you so smart. I'm like, I don't want to say that, but I got lucky. You know
what I mean? But timing is everything.
But at least you knew then. And what people need to know now is pay me in equity. Like, make sure you keep, like, you know when to hold them, know when to fold them.
Right.
Same thing with real estate.
Ownership is big.
Ownership is key. And that was a smart play. Yeah. Cha-ching.
Cha-ching.
Kobe came and saved us.
Make sure y'all put the cha-ching. I want to see Jim dropping out the air when this one airs.
So I got to talk about Tom Brady because I'm a Jets fan, unfortunately.
Tom, everything.
Tom is definitely the GOAT, but I hate Tom Brady because when he was a Patriots player, he was killing my Jets every single year.
Yeah, a lot of Knicks fans said the same thing about Jordan, so I'm used to that. Go ahead.
We're going
to
get to Jordan. Yeah,
no, it's the same thing.
But it's the same thing. I respect his greatness. He is the GOAT.
Right.
Tom Brady, no denying it, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
What lessons just playing with him really? Have you learned that transitions now into real estate?
I think before I met Tom Brady, right? Well, we already knew each other, but I didn't really work with him. Pro Bowls and like, you know, the good player events that we were at, stuff like
the
that.
The good player events?
Yeah, you know, like.
things you gotta do when you're doing things.
You're not like an average guy. This
no, no, but working with him, like, he's so competitive. Like he really loved a game.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. And it's like, he don't have all the great tools like a lot of these quarterbacks. Like Aaron Rodgers he's probably better than Tom, athletically, gift. He get big arm, you know what I mean? All that stuff, side arm, and get throw it deep and all that. And he can scramble. But there's no better like player than Tom. He's really dialed in. We talked about being passionate about your game. This dude watches hours and hours of tape. We'll have a big game, you know, and everybody's out, maybe a beer or two, you know, just as a minimum to keep it light. Nah, he drinking avocado drinks. You know what I'm saying? We FaceTime them. We FaceTime like, yo, you know, this and that. Yeah, we just finished the game. He's in his pool doing workouts. Yeah, I do my recovery, man. It's like things that you hear, like you see and you watch. It's like, it's unbelievable. This dude's like 44.
Yeah.
Playing, you know, like he's 24.
Yeah.
So the hard work he puts in, he's up early. You know, he gets there early, right? I mean, he's a, you know, cool white dude coming there with Levi's on and all that. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then at the end of practice, everybody's tired. He's still there. So he inspired me a lot, you know, and just to see that, you know, because I always pride myself. I'm a hard worker. You know, I do everything the right way to try to give me an advantage on the field, but I mean, he take it to another level. That's why anybody asking about Tom is like, I see why he's so good on wherever he goes. Cause like I don't think the Patriots is gonna be the same without Tom Brady.
Nah.
You can do all, I mean, Belichick's a good coach, but he ain't the same without Tom.
Absolutely.
So you do all that, these players do all that, it ain't gonna matter. Thomas is a different breed. Go to Tampa, mm-hmm. They just get a championship.
They get a championship.
They had them they talk about the talent. They had them same players.
Yeah.
His attitude, he's all about winning. And small things I want to talk about real quick about Tom that people don't know. Like, the best player on the team, he's going like, hey, man, great job. You did a great job. Don't worry. Keep working hard. Don't worry about that past your job. Just keep working hard. The janitor, he the same way with him. Mm. Hey, how you doing? How's everything? How's the kids? You know, hey, thanks for everything you do for us. The janitor. The cafeteria lady. Like, he treats everybody. He builds them up. You know, so he's just a all-around good dude. And the last thing, he real humble. I remember when him and the coach was having a little, not a disagreement, but, you know, coaches, they're stuck in their ways.
Absolutely.
It's my team, right? We want these plays. And Tom's like, okay, cool. You the coach. I might like other plays, and I am Tom Brady, but I listen to you. And then the players, we like, what? Sitting there like, and I'm with Antonio Brown and all type of dude. So we like, huh? You know what I mean? We already talking. Because I'm thinking like, when the Bucks, I wasn't in my prime, but when I was in my prime, I'm like, hey, look, coach. Hey, look, man, we need to run these plays, man. This week, we need to run this right here.
Yeah.
You said what? You know what I mean? Tom ain't like that. Tom's super humble. He be like, you know what? Hey, guys, he's the coach. I'm the player. Let's make it work. Just to show you who he is. Like, he's up here, but he holds himself accountable. And I've been other places where other quarterbacks, other players are big time, and they don't hold themselves accountable. You'll see sometimes, like, the bigger quarterbacks in interviews, they don't have a good game, right? but they won't say it on TV. Tom say, hey, man, I played like shit today. I got to get better. Mm. People don't do that. Like little stuff. Yeah. So he A1.
Leaders create leaders, man.
Yes.
Definitely a leader.
Leaders create leaders, yeah. Mm-hmm. Man. I like you know that. What I'm saying? And Tom is definitely a leader.
Oh, he's a leader.
And that's why he's a winner. Yeah. And that's why he's the GOAT. And everybody falls in line yep. to what he's doing. So just to hear everything that you just said,
yeah,
it's inspiring to even hear.
Nah, like you said, treat everybody the same, no matter if you're the janitor or the
Correct.
CEO.
Crazy, bro.
Treat everybody the same respect because you're human at the end of the day.
Now, the cool thing about Tom, though, right, he get all the best stuff for free. Like the NFT stuff, yo, he been knew about all that. He was talking about all that. That freaking new watches and all that. He get all that stuff. You know me. Yo, bro, what's coming out next? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, what we doing? I need to know.
But Tom getting in on the strength of just being Tom Brady.
Come on.
He got his he has a power team.
Influence capital, man. Yep.
Yeah.
And he rock with everything. Like country boys over here, Jay-Z and them over there. Like he got stories for days.
Yeah, that's legendary conversation.
Yeah.
Well, look, we're going to end this, but who's the GOAT of basketball, LeBron or MJ? Let's go there real quick.
You done with him?
She's done because she can't win this argument. So
how can you not win the argument?
Because I'm just drinking my water.
Yo, you asking
me? We can argue all day.
I'm asking both of y'all. Before we get to the basketball stuff, I just want to tell all the viewers out there, especially any ball players, anybody that's inspired to get into the real estate game, like. My message to ball players, I like to speak to them, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like once they get done, they don't know what to do. But if you want to get in this real estate game, you can live the same way that you did in the league, outside the league. That's one thing about me. I'm a go-getter. Right. So I see how, okay, that's like I was with DJ Envy and Caesar.
Yeah.
When we just started, mm-hmm. we was rocking with them. Now I already knew DJ Envy from just running around, and Caesar was new. And I see how this dude was just grabbing all these properties. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm thinking we could do that. Then when Envy, they inspired me. When Envy said, yo, said, Shady, listen, I use this real estate stuff, you know what I mean, just to get my cars. Because he got a lot of cars.
Yeah. He got a fleet.
So I say, bet.
Yeah.
That's what I'm on. And like, I'm a go-getter. So that inspired me. So this right here, you know, I just want to let everybody know, man, like, let it inspire you. Like, whatever you want, go get it. Yeah. The real estate game will give it to you. Not from just the money part, which that does matter. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like building up your communities. That's big. I go to my city and people know, like, they always talk about real estate now. I'm so used to talking about football and this and that, or Tom Brady questions.
Yeah.
They about the real estate. How can I do this? Dang, how can I get on? Show me that. Yo, I'm so happy you did this. My grandma lived down the street. You built up them cribs over there. Small things like that. So take whatever you want to do in life, go get it. You know what I mean? And if you need some real estate questions, I'll let your boy.
That's what I was going to say. You got to tell them how to find you guys.
I like that.
You got to tell them how to get in touch with you because I know,
never downgrade.
We ain't doing no downgrade.
I told all the NFL players, never downgrade, bro. Nobody goes from the penthouse to the, you know what I'm saying?
From the pit to the palace.
It's wild. So, that's one thing we taught our players. Like, man, don't downgrade. You know what I'm saying? You can live the life that you want to live. Mm-hmm. A big problem that we all have, man, is just that we think, especially ball players, you think this is the most money I'm ever gonna make.
Yeah, that's what you do think.
That's what somebody told you.
That's what somebody told you.
Yeah.
Somebody told you that you can't do anything but dribble or catch.
Yeah.
That might be the fastest money though, I will say that.
For now, because I don't believe that. I believe there's faster money to make. We just gotta keep, you know what I'm saying, chipping away at it. My visions is huge.
And tell us more about your vision. I wanna hear that. Because, I mean, you said it. So
I'll tell you this. So I think that there's 1,000 real estate gurus out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is good for Caesar too. This makes me think of Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
The people that are real estate gurus, if you look at them, they talk to their base. So Grant Cardone, who I watch, he talks to middle-aged white men and women, you know what I'm saying, that look like him, that think like him.
Mm-hmm.
Caesar came out and started talking to the brown people, African Americans and Hispanics, right?
Yep.
This is what I do. I look at NFL players, NBA players, I'm like, they don't got nobody that does what, that are from them, that are by them, that can speak to them.
Absolutely.
That's what we do.
That's true.
So my thing is like, nice. I'm from your cloth, bro. I ain't play as long as you, but I made a lot of money doing this.
Yeah.
I made more money doing this than I did doing that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And while I wasn't as good at this, I can be great here. And that's what I tell my guys. And when it comes to him, it's the same thing. He likes to say, you are what? I'm going to let you do it. Go ahead. You are what?
I'm the real estate all pro.
Real estate all pro.
You know what I'm saying? That's just like, never downgrade, man. Yeah. You know what I mean? So that's kind of like my thing. My vision is all about bringing guys, getting them education, building up and making this money. That's it.
Dope, dope. Shout out to Envy and Caesar too.
Yeah,
and big, man.
Sure.
And my guy Fernando too.
Shout out to Fernando.
Very, very inspired. My man Lucci.
Lucci. Shout out to the whole from start to
Very, very Caesar dudes.
And I love what Envy and Caesar has done just in our community, man. They kind of sparked that bug at a high level for so many people, including myself, man. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't probably be sitting down with you guys right now. So they definitely paved the way for a lot of people to see, like, yo, we can do this too. We can do this,
at
that level.
This is a beautiful time right now of the world where we at, of African-American people finding out about financial literacy.
Absolutely.
Things that we can do, invest in. I follow the whole university, all the guys that you bring on the shows, and I see what they're doing. And some of it I don't know nothing about, but I'm interested. And I'm like, damn, let me watch this podcast. This is what they're doing. Trucking, they're doing stocks, they're doing this and that.
Shout out to Earn Your Leisure.
It's not what I do, right? But I'm intrigued about people that are following it. Right,
but this is stuff that we never knew about growing up. Exactly. No one's teaching us about trucking,
from us forever.
Even real estate. No one was teaching us about real estate growing up.
Even about real estate.
You get into real estate by accident. Somebody accidentally bought a house and you lived there, but they didn't teach you how to invest.
Nope.
And you know, and that's why I love this platform. I love what we're doing, and I'm happy that you guys came on and shared your story with our audience, man. It was definitely a vibe, but I need that question to answer. We ain't leaving until this question.
Oh my God.
Who is the GOAT? Because we got to wrap up.
This is a real question.
This is a real question.
Let me
saying MJ.
Wait, who's you ask? Me first or him first?
I'm asking you, Shane.
All right, so don't interrupt me, please.
You got it.
So when I look at the GOATs, right, like, who dominated?
I'm an ad lib for you, though.
My man, Jordan been dominating ever since he got in the league. Since he was a rookie, dominating, right? And then that's just the physical part of it.
Scoring.
But scoring, okay, whatever it is.
I'm not dominating since he got in scoring.
But then when you dominate, like, winning, I was telling earlier before I got on the show, like, in the NBA, NFL, it's the elite level. It don't get no higher than that.
Yeah.
Right. No higher than that, right? This guy won 3 championships, took a break, then won 3 more.
Yeah.
Against the elites?
Against the elites.
He ain't just going there and just going to the finals and just trying to win. He is winning.
Let me know when it's my turn.
And it's
some greats that only that never won.
Your man went and played baseball.
I'm speaking for you right now.
It's too easy. I'm going to do something else. It's easy.
Let me help y'all go viral.
It's your turn now.
Let me help y'all go viral right now.
Help me now.
So Michael Jordan was ahead of his time. He was the absolute best player.
Not his fault.
Excuse me. He was the best player that they'd ever seen in the 80s. They never seen nothing like it, right?
Right.
If you put Michael Jordan in today's NBA, he would still be dominant. Problem is, there's like 7 or 8 other dudes that play just like him.
Would he still be the best, though?
Those same players, if you put back in the late 80s, early 90s, they dominate too.
I don't think so.
Back then.
No.
It just is what it is.
They follow him. He ain't going to work.
Not happening.
When Jordan got, they was beating him up, he started working out. Jordan ain't doing that.
All I'm saying,
he wasted half the season to get in shape. And they ain't gonna kill him. Let me tell you, you can't do that.
Jordan dominated during the big man era.
Exactly. Right? Playing against weaker wings.
Hold on.
Who was he playing with wings?
Like, who was he really?
Can I talk? No.
Hold on. I look at LeBron.
And I
watch. I look at LeBron do this.
The last dance.
I look at LeBron go down on the. I look at LeBron on the offensive end. Right.
Uh-huh.
Makes his crazy play and a dunk or a layup for the 2. Right. Then I watch him go back on the other end and gotta now see Kevin Durant over there though.
I ain't see that.
You know what I'm saying?
I went to the finals. Jeweled up. And I ain't see him guarding KD, and you didn't see it either.
I seen him guarding KD.
Everybody seen
him.
He was not. Jordan always guarded the best.
Listen. Jimmy Butler was going in those playoffs.
Period.
Jimmy Butler was getting busy.
You're talking Jimmy Butler
right
now?
It's not about that.
What are you talking about?
I'm now watching LeBron say, no more. I got him.
He didn't do the KD?
He tried. You can't stop KD.
He didn't do the KD.
No one can stop KD.
He didn't do the KD.
Let me tell you something. Jordan dominated during the big man era. Big men were big men back then. And he was dunking on them.
And they stayed in the paint. They never left.
Exactly. He was dunking. And he was going to the paint, dunking on them.
He was a great
mid-range shooter. Because he didn't have to go inside and bang.
Who?
Jordan didn't bang?
What are you talking about?
The last 3 titles, he wasn't dunking on nobody.
He was in the post.
He was in the post.
He was 36, 37 years old.
Which is why he wasn't dunking on nobody.
He was in the post. He was in the post, though.
No, he was on the post against a guard.
Whatever
he
it was.
Was
double but
the big man played, listen, the big man played big man.
Name a good shooting guard from that era. I'ma wait.
Reggie Miller?
I'ma be on the next
Reggie
show.
Miller?
Come on, bro.
Come on.
Good shooter.
He's a Hall of Famer.
He's a Hall of Famer.
He's a good defender. And Jordan wasn't even guarding Reggie, man. Stop.
He did guard Reggie.
He did guard Reggie.
He did.
Replay in here, right?
Let me tell you something. LeBron is not the GOAT. He's not better than Kobe.
I like Kobe than me. I like Kobe.
He's not better than Kobe than me.
Jordan though.
LeBron.
So how? So Kobe's better than Mike. So Kobe's better than Mike.
Kobe's better than Mike. It's a couple dudes better than Mike.
Yeah.
Durant's better than Mike. Durant's better than Bird. Lamar Odom and Magic Johnson are the same guy. One just got drug problems. They the same dude.
No, they not.
You 6'7", 6'9". You handle the ball. You're not a great shooter. But you
I'm
this
done.
Was a great Magic interview Johnson. Until you started talking this blasphemy right now. Yeah, this was great.
They gonna think we crazy.
They the same guy.
I mean, at the end of the day, LeBron is the fucking GOAT.
LeBron is a great all-time player.
Y'all have an issue.
Top three.
Because y'all don't like to give him credit where credit is due.
I give him his credit. I love LeBron as a player.
I do love LeBron's game on off the court, by the way.
He's the GOAT off the court.
He's the best role model ever.
He's the GOAT off the court.
Who else has went to their hometown that sucked and brought them a championship? If you name one person
I love LeBron.
And came back and brought a team that sucked.
I love LeBron. I agree with that.
Went to a championship.
But let's not get it twisted. Kyrie Irving won that championship.
Right.
Let's not get it twisted. Kyrie Irving won that championship.
Why is Jordan better? Nobody can make a shot for 2 minutes.
Why is he better than Mike, though? Seriously, why is he better than Mike?
Yeah, I said
Mike didn't on and off the board.
Mike didn't play nobody.
Mike didn't play nobody,
well,
bro.
If you're saying that, then I
on and off
right.
the court.
You be in Mark Price, Ron Harper, and Craig Elo. That don't impress me,
that's
dog.
One team. Bro.
You score 69
bro.
Against them. I literally look at
he
myself.
He scored 69 against Birmingham.
But real talk, right now, it's probably he's right about this. There's probably more superstars right now, right?
Absolutely.
But
they're more talented.
Hold up, more talented. I would say that. But as a league collectively, the league's weaker now.
The league is 10 times weaker.
Now they draft players on potential. Oh, he's 19, he's 6'8", he can jump.
Okay. No, I agree.
He might become a player.
Did y'all watch
now
the All-Star
game? Drafted, they be like, they be drafting the first.
The dunk.
Two picks.
Terrible.
And they be nobody.
Nobody.
They be nobody.
Done. Crash and burn.
The dude for the Knicks, right? R.J. Barrett. He's starting to become a solid player. But he went, what, second or something like that?
Yeah. Third, I think. Yeah.
But if you take somebody in third, you're thinking you're about to get...
But he's somebody young,
who's
bro.
Super nice.
But he's young.
But after his ceiling, I don't see him being like a top five player.
He's young, bro.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just now the game is watered down. Like even like the defense, right? They play.
They don't play no defense.
Yeah, come on.
They don't play no defense. That's why you can't compare.
Can't compare that.
Mike was playing...
And they foul on you, they care. Like, there's none of that.
You do this.
You do this. It's a foul.
It's a flagrant.
Yo, the league is so bad.
It's a flagrant, bro. You know it. That's why you laughing. That's why you laughing.
The league is so bad that the officials had to start replaying over the summers to see like what's a real foul because guys they grab my arms and all that to get a foul. It's like,
well, no, that's manipulating.
It's
the
so bad. That's crazy.
It's terrible, bro.
Come on, dog.
Look, Mike would dominate this era.
He would do good.
He would dominate this era. He would be great
in any era. But I listen, but there's a bunch of players now that can play back then.
I'm not saying that.
Man, I'm done talking.
Kevin Durant will smoke Larry Bird. It would be bad. Dennis Rodman, too. Bring all of them.
He's
going to smoke all of them. Why? Because he can do everything. And no matter what you do to him, he's still going to score. Because he's 6'10".
But is he going to win?
Is he going to win?
He can win if he got the right team. Like anybody else.
Your team won that great.
What's Isaiah Thomas doing today?
Well, yeah.
The same thing that Kyle Lowry does.
Well, yeah.
But more. The same thing that R.J. Barrett and them dudes. What was like? That was regular dudes.
Isaiah would be a regular player today.
That sounds sad, bro.
On that note, Isaiah, nice.
John Stark.
Hubert Davis, you hear this shit?
Look, on that note.
Just end it with the... can I keep naming bummy guards in the back while you end it? Go ahead. Hubert Davis. John Stark. No, Jeff Hornacek.
Oh, my
Dan
God.
Marley.
Stockton would be great in this era. Nice. What are you talking about?
Byron Russell.
He really got names.
He's dropping a lot of names. But the bottom line is, MJ is the GOAT.
And in your opinion.
And on that note, this is Matt Garland. This is a dope episode, by the way.
Absolutely.
Matter of fact, tell them how to follow you guys, man.
You can find me on Instagram at Dutch. We're at McCoy-Boys on Instagram, and he's at Shady McCoy.
There you have it, guys. Right. So look, this is Matt Garland, NMLS number 58700, better known as MG the Mortgage Guy.
And this is Kiana Watson, license number 317576, better known as Broker Extraordinaire. And thank you guys for tuning in for another amazing episode of The Rants and Gems Show.
Peace.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Go.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.